Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's a Monday on The Usual Suspects, and guess what? We're all present and accounted for, and so hopefully you guys are too, and you'll take us along for the ride for the next 3 hours. Barry, Nick, and Joel in the Gal Media Studios, ready to go, fellas. What's going on?
What up, what up, what up?
It's like not a lot of sports.
No.
What'd it do?
Not a lot. I watched some AAF football and a lot of Netflix this weekend.
You watched what?
AAF. I did. I watched one game.
Was it the backward pass game?
No.
Did you see that?
No.
That was the greatest thing. I didn't watch any AAF, but I did see a highlight where the quarterback was about to get sacked and he had his back to the line of scrimmage. And he just, like, oh, hell, threw it over his head without looking.
Like a three-point hook
two
shot?
Two hands, he just went like that.
Like
went,
a three-point hook shot?
Yeah, and the tight end caught it. And that was, like, nice. The highlight of the week. You know, last week it was the quarterback getting crushed so bad that his helmet came off and his skull hit the turf.
Yeah,
and
no.
This week it was the backward pass.
I watched the, I don't know the cities.
The San Antonio Commanders.
No.
The Orlando Apollos.
That was a game, yeah, between those two teams.
I watched the Iron versus, was it the Birmingham? Oh. Is it the Birmingham Iron? I don't know. Whoever the Iron is.
I am shocked you even spent
versus
time.
The Stallions. It just sounds like generic football. It's like, you ever watched a commercial and they have a football player on and there's just like, they just wear generic colors. They don't have logos or anything.
Yeah.
That's kind of what it reminds me of. I went and looked at so they have an app for the AAF.
Oh, boy.
And I was like, ooh, they were like, if you download it, there's Easter eggs in the app, which I was like, ooh, I love Easter eggs, but not, it's not like what you thought, actually. But the app was neat for like 3 seconds. Like you can pick a play, but they're always a play behind. So you can accumulate points. You can guess, oh, this is going to be a pass. And then once you guess that, then you can guess left, middle, or right. And then you can guess first down or touchdown. So, yeah, this is going to be a pass over the middle for a touchdown. And if you get all that right, you get a lot of points. Now, I don't know what the hell you do with the points. But the problem is it was always a play behind. So I would pick, oh, this is going to be a pass over the middle. Mm-hmm. And then then I would look at the TV, and then that play would be happening on my phone, but the previous play would be happening on TV. I was like, well, this sucks because I need to know the outcome before
right.
I pick what they're going to do next.
Does it set the table for you? Like, so you know at least the call that you made was for 2nd and 7 instead of...
No, I deleted it. It was whack. I was like, this sucks.
I'm shocked you were watching that.
I am too.
There was
I thought
literally...
you'd be watching Wheel of Fortune all weekend.
No, my wife... Is this the play that you were talking about? My wife was sick all weekend.
It's going around.
So, well, she had to get a tetanus shot.
Oh, geez.
Her 10-year, because I guess doing what she does as a nurse and everything mm-hmm. else. So, apparently the tetanus shot knocked her on her ass. Like, she was not feeling well at all. So, I just took care of her. And we watched, you know, when she was feeling well, we watched Netflix a lot. But I was laying there with absolutely nothing to do. And then I was like, you know, I want to watch something sporty. Not the NBA All-Star game or the festivities. So I just turned on a little football and watched maybe a half and was like, this feels like Division II football. That's what it felt like. It felt like not even Division I college football because the stands were empty. And it just, I don't know, it felt bad. The coverage team, the announcing team wasn't great. It was Maurice Jones-Drew and Marvin Lewis.
Because that was one of the other things they said. They got really top-notch announcing
crews.
No, crews.
They did not.
They got name recognition is what they got.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, they got guys with names, but they were Maurice Jones-Drew. And then they went to the studio, and it was Terrell Davis was in the studio. Mm-hmm. And you could tell he was not prepared. He had no idea what to say. And he was, like, just fumbling his way through it all. I was just like, this sucks so bad. They had one chick that was, like, she was, like, the me. She was the dorky stats girl of the halftime show or the pregame show or both.
Okay.
And they go to her, and she's like, well, 1 week in, I'm like, you can't build stats off of 1 week.
Yeah, it's not like you go to, like, because this year's stats are career stats.
She was like, this is going to be 28-19 or 25-19 was her predicted score of the game. And I was just like, this just is so weird.
And me, of all people, opposite of you, instead of someone that's always watching sports, I had my mother-in-law in town.
Okay.
And so she had to go to the airport. Okay. So one, we're totally freaked out, like, because when Taylor finds out grandma's leaving, she's going to lose her you-know-what. And then what I hate is I drive everybody to the airport, and everything's all conversational and happy-go-lucky until we get right to the front of the terminal, and then it's like the rainforest from hell. Everyone starts crying uncontrollably, and I'm not crying. I'm like, I don't want to be that guy, but you're going to be back, and you're not dying, and you've been here for 10 days. But no, and then Taylor's crying, and Lisa's crying, and I'm like, wow, God. And then bouncing back from that. And the other thing is, her flight was at 6 o'clock last night, but she insisted on going to the airport at noon.
Oh, my God.
I'm like, why?
Yeah. Well.
And Lisa goes, yeah, I don't get it. I go, she said she has a book and she wants to people watch. I was like, well, we could have a day.
Is it hobby or is it?
It was Intercontinental, still. Going back to California. I don't get it.
Yeah. It was more like a paranoia, like peace of mind thing. She knows she's there, so she can't miss the flight. I think that's what it is.
I just know that it screws up the final day where everybody could have had, you know, done something and then taken her to the airport, been close to the airport, all those kind of things. And instead, it was just weird.
It's pretty strange.
Yeah.
6 hours early?
Yeah. I've never been like that. So.
No. I mean, I think
I wouldn't even do that for an international.
Maybe she was just sick of y'all's bleep.
Which is
just
quite
like,
possible,
I'm ready
too.
To get the hell out.
Yeah, it's quite possible.
Is it?
Yeah, because as you get...
Yeah, 10 days is a lot of time.
Yeah, and the first, you know, and again, when time starts building up and I'm working, Lisa's working, Taylor's at school, there's more time to go, the spare bedroom, what are you doing with that?
Whoa.
You could be cleaning that. You know, that, did you realize that the bathroom in the spare bedroom, she's telling me to go get a pumice? I'm like, who goes in there?
Oh, my goodness. She's going through your house? You think she went through your drawers?
I don't know.
You think?
I don't think I'm hiding anything that I'm in trouble for, but I don't know. You know, last time it was that I had clothes on the floor in my closet. Well, it's my closet.
Stay out of my closet. Why was your mother-in-law in your closet?
Well, Lisa does it all the time, too. So yesterday I walked into Lisa's closet, put the light on. I'm like, she goes, what are you doing? I go, looking to see how much crap you got that you need to start cleaning up and getting out of here. And she goes, well, I go, don't watch it now. Because in my closet, she tells me I have too many golf shirts. I go, when's the last time a golf shirt went out of style? Seen the collars change? Nope. Seen the colors change? And the designs change? Doesn't matter
what. Argument is still going down over your golf shirts?
Get off my golf shirts. They're not going anywhere.
You know what? Wow. They probably do look like they're from the 80s.
They're all, as you would know.
How would I know? I haven't seen your golf shirts.
Because you know the context that I've had in the past and the fact that I used to spend a lot of time golfing. They're all pretty much brand new, so I won't throw them out.
Yeah, you've told me.
Now, I'm not Palillo. You know, I'm not saving them
from
the 70s.
Yes, you are, because those are probably from the
80s. If they had American flags all over them and, like, plaids with polka dots, that's not me. In that material that makes you sweat double, not dry fit. But the nice ones I'm saving. Why would I give them?
Wear one of them tomorrow.
Ooh.
We'll judge.
Yeah. Wear a golf shirt tomorrow?
Yeah, yeah. Barry and I will judge. Yeah. And the people will judge through the video stream.
You can take your pick of Nike, Adidas,
Nike.
Dry fit. Okay.
I like it.
That's easy.
Like that?
That's like a fashion challenge.
Yeah. You're going to have a field day with this, Barry.
Why?
Because you're just going to love picking on him about it.
No, he's going to wear a nice one.
Yeah.
I like his hat. That's a nice
hat. I could bring the Tiger Woods Nike shirt in.
Yeah, do that.
It's fine. That's easy.
Do they fit?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Because that would be my problem, is I've got a whole, like, rack at the top of my closet for my fat clothes.
I thought you meant, like, you're too fat and it's too small.
Yeah. No, this is clothes that, when I'm fat, those are the ones I wear.
You shouldn't be fat anymore because you're back to eating Subway, which is driving me crazy.
Why?
I thought the Subway closed.
Yeah, how the hell closed. Did you? Subway closed.
Back to bringing them funky smelling sandwiches in the prep room again.
Well, at least I eat my chips in the car. Unlike your crunching ass.
I can hear you smacking too.
I don't smack.
Yes, you
do. You're crunching ass with them chips.
Subway eating crunching son bastard. Of a bitch.
Wow.
We're just
7-1. Bam. Let's go.
So annoying. I was so happy he got rid of that damn Subway sandwich every freaking day. And apparently another one has opened, and now he's going to be back.
No, another one wasn't open. I just found another one conveniently located on the way in.
Where? Like way out there? Like way
no,
out
like in... right here, Richmond and Sage. Right next to, what's it
in
called?
That, in that Demasi's? Shopping center?
Yeah, it's right next to Demasi's.
Oh, it must have just opened up.
I don't know.
I've never seen one there before.
Yeah, it's right there behind the Chipotle next to Demasi's. It's perfect.
Everything in small doses, bro. You don't have to eat the same thing every single day.
No.
You can change it up.
That's how I'm going to lose change it weight.
Up. There's other sandwiches out there.
How about you mind your own blessed business? I almost cursed. How about you mind your own damn business and don't worry about what I eat?
I would mind my own business if you would stop bringing that damn sandwich in the prep room.
How about you mix in a salad?
Eat it in the car.
Tubby.
Your car's so fancy. Tubby. Eat it in your car. Your car's so fancy, you probably have some sort of like table or...
You should see my car. There's crumbs all in my chair.
Now, I was going to ask you, on the new car, do you have a scratch on it yet?
No. But I probably will now. Thanks for giving me a hold.
No, because I was driving the other day thinking, man, even after the accident, once they got it out, that I don't. And then I was emptying groceries out of the car last night, mm-hmm. and I have my car in the garage with the garage door up, but my back hatch is open. And Lisa's like, why is the garage open? And just shut it. Scratch and the garage just comes down on the back of the hatch. And I'm like, and the light's flashing like a horror picture. And I'm going, oh my God, my car's underneath there. And I scratched the tailgate. No. So I was like, yeah, it's broken in now.
Nothing like that yet, but I'm sure it'll happen.
Change it up, Barry.
Hates me.
Change no, I'm not changing it.
You don't have to eat.
You know what?
You don't have to be the same
you don't
sandwich
have to
every day.
Eat it. You mind your,
change
own,
it up.
Mind your own business.
Change
wait,
it up.
You go to Pete's Fine Meats all the time and get yourself some meat sandwiches.
And you know
all the
what
time.
I do? And I share it with everybody. That's why.
What do you want,
it's not,
to cut
it's
up
not for me.
I'm
pieces?
Not bringing you
it's for the people.
Sandwiches. I'm not doing that.
And I rarely do that. It's nothing. Not every day. It's like once every like 2 months.
I don't that's not owe true. You nothing.
You basically do it any day
get
that ends with
lunch.
A Y.
I do.
Yeah, you have a job. Get your own lunch and mind your own business.
I don't know why the show started off like
know,
that. I had no
had
reason.
Why did you get so aggressive?
Because
about
it was smelling
sandwiches.
Up the prep room. You're always sitting here, you're always talking about Joel stinking up the joint in there in the studio. I never do that to you.
Well, no, you stay in there and you fart by yourself in there.
No.
Yeah,
that's
you
not
do.
True. That's y'all too.
Okay. Come in like... here. Come in here smelling like alcohol and shame.
Jeez. Smelling or? Okay.
What bad decisions did you make this weekend?
I actually did pretty good.
So. Did you?
Yeah.
Was it this weekend that you tweeted?
I saw your tweet. I was like, this isn't going to go well on Twitter. And of course, everybody had to have a comment, right?
Yeah, they
of course.
Did.
They can't let you live your life.
Except it's for like, Josh Rapp, because Inquiring Rapp wants to know, where are you going? Where are you going now? What are you doing? I want in. I was like, oh my God, leave him alone.
Tweeting when I'm drinking anyway. It's just a dumb idea.
Was happy hour fun with Kirsten?
It was.
Yeah, it sucked. I missed it. I wanted to
go. The margaritas were fantastic.
Really?
Yeah.
I bet that would have been cool to hang out.
She just tweeted, too, by the way, that on her trip, she just taught a whole bar how to line dance. She goes, I need to get back to Texas soon.
Really?
Yeah, but you just... Kirsten's just a great person. She can fit in anywhere.
She is.
And she can pick themes for Way Back Wednesday when Nick can't. So, there you got it. Hey, we're just getting started. And the HRMP listener line is open, 713-780-3776. You can call that number, text that number, or you can call us. And we'd love to have you part of the show. If you want to reach us via Twitter, it's at Barry is Funny, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, and at The Producer Nick. It's The Usual Suspects. We are ESPN 97.5.
Listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, just getting started. It's The Usual Suspects on a Monday. The HR&P listener line, if you want to join the show, 713-780-3776. You can text that number, call that number, hit us up on Twitter. Have you scanned it yet?
The text line?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a couple... worth reading and a couple that I just deleted.
So the ratio is about average.
Yeah, you Dylan said mixing a salad. Nick strikes me as the kind of guy who certainly enjoys a freshly tossed salad from a guy named Pete with Fine Meat.
Go back to sleep. Go back to sleep. Whatever. Luke.
Hell you, Dylan.
Whatever,
hell
Dylan, you did whatever.
Dylan, it's indeed.com.
I love listening to you guys. It reminds me of my brothers and I when we finally get together for a long time. That's we trashed each other, but it's all in good fun. Thanks for the laugh on the drive.
So. He's got it right except for the good fun part.
Yeah. And then somebody just said that, hey, I can hear you guys on the south side of Lake Charles. That's good. We like to hear that.
Out where everything's sweeter, it was pretty clear today, too.
Everything's sweeter.
Sugarland. That's what they say, you know.
I didn't know that.
Nobody would have known.
I would have not
my
known that.
Neighbors, people at the grill, they always say that.
Where everything is sweeter?
Yeah, Sugarland.
They're 97 years old if they say
no,
that.
No, they were not. But
no one knows Sugarland. I've been there my whole life. No one knows that.
There's a damn sugar
also,
plant
you didn't,
there.
You know, you didn't that have
went
to
at,
use
that
it.
Went at, that closed down like 12 years ago.
It's still operational.
No,
Imperial
it's not.
Sugar.
It's not.
No.
It hasn't been operational for like a decade,
bro.
There's
lights out at night. No. There's cars in the parking lot.
Those are meth heads. They're just doing smoking crack in the sugar
I don't feel
place.
Like you're a proud Sugarland resident, sir.
Chief, they built the freaking Sugarland Skeeter Stadium and the whole thing. There's the Imperial Sugar Plant. Everything is
that
called.
Was moved to Florida like a decade ago.
No. As far as I know, it's still operational.
It's not.
I'm going with it. I don't
are
care.
You?
Yes.
Oh. Okay.
And it's still where everything's sweeter.
No. See, you didn't have to.
I actually don't blame him because you haven't been there. Though. You when you first moved here, you're usually like within the loop for like the first, what, 5-6 decades you're in the city?
I was in Midtown, yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, believe me, I was forced to move to the suburbs.
I watched a lot of Netflix this weekend, and I don't know about you guys. Well, I know you didn't, Joel.
Right, no.
Do you, you have Netflix though, right?
Yep.
You said you were.
Yep.
I highly recommend, if you haven't watched it yet, watching the series called The Punisher.
I've heard of it.
It's really, really good. It's like a lot of it's a Marvel comic guy, but he just doesn't have any superpowers other than he can get shot like 50 times and not die, which is a bit of a stretch.
You got to be a little strong,
or he gets his ass whooped a lot and but still win somehow. But it's really good. Lots of blood and fighting and bullets. And another thing that one of the listeners had recommended that we watch was Murder Mountain. Have you seen this, Nick?
I have not.
I know you haven't seen it, Joel.
No.
You guys have to watch this. It was outstanding. So it's about, and if you're going to watch it, then you may maybe change the channel because it might be a spoiler alert. But it's about this town, this county, Humboldt County in California, where they grow weed. And it's like Humboldt County produces, they said, 60% of the weed that is consumed in America comes from Humboldt County. And people go there and like get jobs as trimmers, and they just trim the weed, and that's they think they're going to get rich and stuff. But a lot of people started dying and disappearing, and it's really about this one guy that has disappeared, and they can't find him. And it's so bad, like they said, it's such an outlaw environment on the mountain, in this place called Alder Point, that the cops won't even go there. And it was so infuriating.
Is that true?
Yeah, because the cops said that they showed up one time to go to do something. And they said, the cops even said it was like Mad Max. Like people on four-wheelers with shotguns on their backs were riding around them. And I'm like, you're the cops.
Yeah.
Why are you doing this? They said, oh, well, most of our officers don't even want to go there because there's threats of violence made against them. Oh, well, then you're a cop. Arrest the person the threat of violence.
I get it, but I
don't get that.
I totally get it.
You're a cop.
Yeah, but if you're outnumbered. Yeah.
Shoot that son of a gun.
And if there's a lot of them, or there's if you're outnumbered.
It doesn't matter. They're like, well, that mountain is lawless. Well, you're the law.
I feel like people think that those type of communities only exist outside the United States.
No.
It's in the United States as well.
I'm sure deep in the mountains in Tennessee, it's the same way.
And believe me,
I'm
not
shocked. There's not going to be surveillance cameras or things that you can go to so that you can figure out who did what. So.
Yeah. It was fascinating, though, because they really, there was a lot of intimidation on the part of the police, to them being intimidated to not go there unless they absolutely had to. And it was also frustrating because they talk about this kid that was murdered, and these, basically, the people that lived on the mountain became vigilantes. They decided they were going to handle it themselves. So they, like four or five of them, just go to the dude that they thought had murdered the kid and got him to confess and show him where the body was. And then the cops didn't do anything about it. They were like, "Well, we can't do anything about it." It was like, "What? You have
that's
the
crazy."
Yeah, they were like, "Well, you know, it was a coerced confession." They just, oh, dude, it's fascinating, though, because they talk about other people that have disappeared and the growing of the weed, and now that it's legal, I highly recommend it. It was really
good. I definitely would watch something like that, especially when there's some sort of community that's kind of run by itself, and there's no police department or anybody, or no law enforcing agency of any type enforcing laws.
It was fascinating.
That's always crazy.
It was fascinating. It was almost as infuriating, though, as Abducted in Plain Sight, which is the story of a couple whose neighbor abducted their kid twice and would molest her, and they really didn't do anything about it. They would just be like, "Oh, we wish you'd come home." That one was infuriating, too. You really want to get mad? Watch Abducted in Plain Sight. You'd be so pissed off.
Well, and then you got me on the Bundy thing, so then I'm catching up on the Bundy thing.
Almost all of it.
Oh, nice. Because I always knew his name, but I didn't know the whole story. And the more you watch the story...
So you did watch the tapes, huh?
Yeah, and you go, but then you start going, first of all, he escaped how many times?
Twice.
Yeah, and he kept getting away. And the one time he didn't eat for God knows how long so he could fit through the vent in the roof of the prison or whatever. And then it was just like, and we're looking for a guy named Ted. Ted, and they knew his name. They had a sketch that looked like him. He knew he had a yellow Volkswagen. But yet when the yellow Volkswagen was pulled up on the side of the road in front of a house, it's no big deal.
Exactly. It's like, again, you get frustrated because they're like,
yes.
There's these things. You see it. It seems obvious. But no,
my mother and I are watching. I go, this would never happen today.
Oh, no.
One, he would never get away the first time. But with DNA and everything like that, they would have linked it to him instead of going, you know, this sounds like the murders in Seattle. But I don't know.
Well, that's what led to it. I mean, you can thank Ted Bundy for the way law enforcement shares information now.
Yeah, because he covered some ground, too.
Yeah, he did.
But security sucked at jails back in the day.
It really did.
You could have got out. Anybody could have got out of jail. I don't see why there was one prisoner in the 70s, honestly. All y'all should have broke out, honestly.
Yeah, it's true. You're right.
Speaking of that, add this to your list on Netflix. Escape at Dannemora.
Dannemora?
Dannemora. It's a prison in New York, and it's a true story about these guys that escaped. They tunneled under the wall for 5 years and got out and eventually got caught, but it's really good. It tells the tale. And what's her name? There's a chick that you'll recognize that she doesn't look the same, though.
Actress?
Yeah, I got to look up her name. Patricia Arquette.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, she's in it, and you'll recognize her face, but her body is not the same
at all.
We
talked about it a couple weeks ago, she kind of blew up, let herself go a little bit.
Yeah, but check that out. I would add those three for sure to your list, because I really enjoyed them. Abducted in Plain Sight, Murder Mountain, and Escape at Dannemora.
There you go.
Very good stuff.
All right.
You know what else is good stuff? Getting in a good workout, especially if you're on this weight loss challenge, man. Look, I'm struggling. I don't know about the rest of you, but I'll be the first one to admit it. I have been struggling. Tomorrow, meet me at Vortex. Let's get back on the wagon. Let's get back to losing weight. If you haven't been losing weight, and if you are, good for you, but I got a night. You should all come. You should all meet me at Vortex. It is Houston's first and only multi-sensory indoor cycling and boxing studio. I love Vortex because there's no nasty, sweaty guys on weight benches that won't wipe them off, and you're waiting, and dudes are taking selfies and grunting and throwing iron around, and there's none of that. It's two types of classes. It's boxing and it's spin classes, and you take your pick, and they have a morning and afternoons and evenings, and you go in there, and you get a great workout in 45 minutes. You burn a ton of calories. You have a good time doing it. You're motivated by the athletes that are there, like Trey, who's the boxing instructor, who not only is a boxer, but he shows you how to box. And then he gets you in shape. It's a full body workout, whether you're doing the spin class or the boxing class. I can't say enough good things about it. And it's absolutely true. And once you go there, you'll get it. You'll see why I brag about Vortex. And here's they've got a special going right now that you can try. For $40, unlimited walk-in classes for 1 week. That's right. $40, unlimited walk-in classes for 1 week. Check it out. Give that a shot. They've got three rows of bikes with 48 bikes in total. They've got over 40 heavy bags that you can get at as well. There's no reason not to go unless you just like being out of shape and you don't like having fun when you work out. If you like being in shape and having fun, check out Vortex. 281-501-3094 is the number. 281-501-3094 or online at vortextexas.com.
You going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. Is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, rolling through the first half hour of The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Still plenty of show to go, so if you want to jump in, come on aboard. Just kind of breaking the ice as we get started. I take it with all of your Netflix viewing, you didn't watch much of NBA All-Star Weekend.
You are correct, sir.
Did you, Nicholas?
I watched none.
No, I watched the UFC fight. It was kind of going on at the same time, and it wasn't a really big card, but it was the first fight on ESPN, and I really wanted to watch it, so...
I tuned in for a half a second. I recorded it to watch it, but then I saw the chick walk into the cage doing a pre-fight. I don't know what they would call it, but she was like, yeah, coming up next. And then she walks into the cage. I was like, okay, we're already going to overdo it with this. She's like the sideline reporter version of ESPN or of football. And they throw her in the cage and let her talk for a minute. And then she leaves. I was like, all right, I can already tell ESPN is going to ruin the UFC.
Oh, don't say that.
Already.
They're giving a lot of extra pub and a lot of attention, but
you sign a deal like that, you better.
Yeah, you have to, right?
Yeah.
Just watch. It'll be a spectacle. It'll be closer to wrestling than it's ever been.
Watch the whole broadcast. Give it a chance.
No.
I'm telling you.
It'll be close to wrestling before long. Watch. Because ESPN is going to...
I mean, it's kind of already there with the way matchmaking is going, if you think about it. It's kind of in that direction when you consider who's getting fights. You know, Conor McGregor.
Some of the crap talking that goes on.
I mean, there was a guy literally on an internet forum talking trash to Daniel Cormier, and that's how he got a fight with Daniel Cormier once, and no one even knows who his name is. Like, it is kind of in that direction, but I think it was kind of going in that direction anyway before it was bought out.
It's a shame because, to me, there's always been some sort of loosely based tie-in to wrestling and MMA, because you had catch-as-catch-can wrestling and you had other types of wrestling that wrestlers would cross over into professional wrestling, which was the fake wrestling and real wrestling, and then come back to MMA. And that's fine. I get that there's that link that's always existed, but the one thing you could count on was MMA was if dudes didn't like each other, they were genuinely didn't like each other. And then now you start seeing, you know, a lot of it feels forced and feels fake. And you've had masked reveals in the cage in Bellator. I'm out. No thanks. This reminds me of what boxing started to do. It became more about the pageantry and less about the sport. This is a sport at the end of the day.
Okay.
So I'm just, now I sound like an old
man. Just keep crapping on it.
Yeah, just.
I sound like an old man, but I don't know. I wanted to be.
That's how you feel. That's fine.
I want it to be about the fighting and not about.
There's no question.
The
to a certain extent, it is going in that direction, especially with matchmaking. Matchmaking is what serves your argument the best. Like, what helps your argument the best, because we know that you never always get the best two fighters in the cage, and that's what sucks about it.
Yeah. And what I've always liked about it is the fact that when you always look at like certain sports where you grow up playing it or participating in it, and you get to a certain level. Obviously, with baseball, basketball, football, hockey, you have a chance to go pro, right? And the only way you could go pro if you were a wrestler would be to fake it, to be in the WWE for a while.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot of options.
And the UFC gives you an option to kind of further your wrestling and also show off other skills and develop it to where you can financially gain from it and do a lot of things. And so that's why you don't want to lose that, because that's kind of that special niche that makes it even more exciting to watch, because you know it's real.
Yeah,
because no, a lot of people were super bummed. A lot of people that work here, by the way, are still super bummed that wrestling's fake because they don't want to believe it. The WWE style.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't mind. I know you've got to hype up the sport, and I'm all for that. And you know, the chick walking into the cage and doing the little pre-fight role doesn't bother me all that much. But it basically was more of a triggered thing where I was like, oh my god, this is going to get out of hand before we know it. It's going to, ESPN is going to really commercialize the crap out of this. It's going to become less about the sport.
Well, since we're on the topic already, did you at least see the last, because the last fight was like very quick. Did you see, did you find a clip or a video?
I saw highlights, yeah.
What did you feel in terms of the fact that Cain Velasquez lost in Ngannou? And a lot of people say it's not necessarily because his knee buckled, it's because he got clipped.
I think he got clipped.
I would agree.
Yeah.
I think he got clipped and that's what caused his knee to buckle is what I think.
Yeah, he...
Now, whether... he was obviously awake after that punch, so he may have been able to weather the storm had his knee not buckled, but it was still
it was
the
in a
punch that
position.
Made him drop. You know what I mean?
And he was in a compromised position. I don't know that the outcome was going to be any different. Though, it does. You felt like... But, boy, there were a lot of people that were just like, ugh, this is where... You know, this was the big hype. But, you know, there's not much you can do about it. I mean... guys get old and guys, their skills diminish. And you want a guy like Cain to be able to fight forever, but it's just not going to happen. There's a new crop out there.
Especially his style. He's a wrestler. He's a fast wrestler. He's kind of a heavyweight that's really, really, really fast. So he depends a lot on his speed, which, you know, may be a reason why he's always kind of getting injured. He's definitely got the injury prone label now. So.
I'm looking at the clip again, and to me, it looks like he got hit behind the ear. And what that won't necessarily knock you out, but it will.
It'll drop you.
It'll make you lose your balance, and if you go down in a squirrely way, then your knee could buckle, and that's twice as bad. And hey, good for Ngannou for having an exciting fight. Coming back, right?
Quick. He can probably fight next week if he wanted to.
Yeah, especially after the Derek Lewis fight. There was a lot of folks that were not happy with either of those guys. So,
yep.
Good for him. But, yeah, that sucks. Total strikes thrown, 3 by Cain Velasquez.
Yeah.
3 strikes, 1 landed. 10 strikes by Ngannou, 6 landed.
Yep.
Fun fight. There were 13 strikes thrown total.
At least it wasn't pay-per-view, right?
Oh,
nope,
boy.
Just an ESPN card. First ESPN card. So
there was action, it was quick, to the point, and you didn't have to pay for it. So people shouldn't bitch.
Yeah, and I didn't watch much of the other ones. I did watch the Miles Jury, Andre Feely fight.
I watched that, too.
That was a good fight.
It was a good fight.
Yeah. That's it. That's all I watched.
Okay.
I didn't watch a lot of sports. I was like, you know what? I don't care. I mean, did you watch the slam dunk contest?
I did.
I did not. I saw some dude jump over an airplane and went, well, this is dumb.
He broke it.
Yeah, but I was like, that's stupid. Why is there a plane?
Really?
Because
some people were saying it wasn't that bad.
So, because, you want to explain it to you?
And a dude jumped over.
So the Wright brothers are from Carolina, and they brought the plane and the flight squad.
You know what? Then the next time that the All-Star game is here in Houston, somebody better jump over a rocket. I want to see Apollo 13, the rocket, on the court.
You want to make it interesting.
And jump over it.
Put that, like, needly top on the rocket and let some guy try and jump over that and miss it and become a human kebab.
When they have it in New York, are they just going to stack a bunch of homeless people up and jump over them?
First of all, there's my first issue. My first issue is from now on, and I don't care who's on the Knicks squad going forward, no one from New York's allowed the dunk contest anymore. Because every time you put someone from New York in the dunk contest, they miss 56 times before they get their dunks right, and they keep allowing them to keep going. They have to change that because it takes all the oomph out of the crowd. And then the thing is, when he finally, Dennis Smith Jr. missed about 18 dunks throughout the competition.
Mm-hmm.
And he kept trying it and trying it. And then when he got it right, the judges go, 10, 10, 10. I go, he missed it 8 times. Yeah. How are you going to give him a 10?
That's whack.
I mean, he should be disqualified. I go back to the one here in Houston when we all painfully had to watch Nate Robinson miss like 36 of them.
Yeah, see, it should just be you get three tries. If you don't hit it on your third try, sorry, you get a 0 for that round.
Kudos to Joe Harris. And everybody's going, who? But Joe Harris of the Brooklyn Nets beat Steph Curry in the 3-point shootout. And I mean, he didn't beat him by catching Steph on a bad day. He was on fire, and it was great because Steph's from Carolina, and everybody was propping it up, and he had his bet with his brother coming in.
Yeah, both
and then
Curry's
the underdog
there, right?
Just – and Steph had a chance if he made all 5 in the last rack, so they had suspense, and he makes 4 of 5, and the other one rattles in and out, and Joe Harris wins. So good for him. I like that. The skills challenge they should throw away already, and the only way that it was saved this year was, you know, it's like playing knockout. So if the guy's halfway up the court with you after doing all their obstacles and passes and all the stuff no one cares about, you have to make a 3. And it started with Trae Young from Atlanta, who's known for long shots.
Uh-huh.
He just threw a one-legged inside the half court line, and it beat the other guy, and he made it. So he advanced. And then in the final, Jason Tatum is going up against Trae Young, and Trae Young is like half the court ahead of him. Jason Tatum just hauls off and cranks one up from about behind midcourt, and literally they had to go to replay because Tatum's ball slid in before Young's ball. They both went in at the same time. And so you talk about, well, that takes great skill. I made a half-court shot. Really? That's the skills challenge?
Just heaving it up.
You won because you made a half-court shot?
I'll tell you, I clicked over at one point and saw that at the end of the third quarter, or in the, it was 127 to 127, and I literally said out loud, what a bunch of horse bleep, and just switch back. I'm not watching that. In the third quarter, it's the final score was 178 yeah. to 164. That is garbage. That is the Globetrotters versus the Washington Generals.
But I'll say this.
Who's actually sitting through that whole game?
Do you know, by the
horrible.
Way, the numbers, because I forgot about the fact that after the celebrity game was that rookie sophomore challenge thing.
Uh-huh.
There was like 55 dunks in that game, right? Mm. The opposite last night. Do you know that there were 161 threes attempted last night?
See, that's just crazy. I just and then here, and then I've got a look on where was it? US? No, was it CBS? Somebody puts out an article that says the NBA is the only league that does the All-Star game and All-Star weekend right.
Your favorite show had a whole debate about that this morning.
Stop.
Yeah, which All-Star game's the best? Who cares? They all suck.
Most of them.
I feel like the NBA All-Star, that's fun for the players.
Hockey's pretty
cool. The former players.
And you know what? And the league gets it. As opposed to fighting over Maroon 5 for a halftime, they have J. Cole. They have, you know, all they have a great lineup musically for everybody involved.
Mm-hmm.
And then the players wanted to go back out and watch J. Cole, and LeBron had to ask Mike Malone. And Mike Malone was like, yeah, if you guys want to get your asses back on defense in the second half so we're not down 20, let's do it. Seemed to work because they came back and won. So there's motivation in itself. All right, we'll continue to roll on. If you want to join the show, 713-780-3776. Something in your mind you want to get off your chest, give us a shout, text, call, Twitter. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Loaded, ready to rule. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Both. They all both hard. You know, and uniquely, it shows the talent, you know, that we have within the league. It shows still progression within the league. I'm very proud about what both guys have done because they're making their mark for the league, and I think it really helps to grow the league. Which is harder from a player standpoint? Six championships by all means.
That was the unofficial host of NBA All-Star Weekend, the King, Michael Jordan. Yeah, I said it. The King. The best ever. Talking about James Harden, Russell Westbrook, and the fact that obviously he puts a certain other accomplishment ahead of both, but that's just Michael has a lot of things going for him, and one of the biggest things he's got going for him is his ego. He's not going to tell you any. I was a part of a conversation once with a bunch of an arrogant Tony Romo at the time that had just gotten the starting job for the Cowboys, was trying to convince a room full of NBA guys and other athletes that no NFL guy could ever play football. And some of the guys were right off the top.
No NBA guy?
And no NBA could ever play NFL football.
Okay, he's an old NFL guy.
Sorry.
So you mean NBA?
Yeah.
Okay.
So Charles is in the conversation. MJ's not saying a whole lot, but even like Marshall Faulk, guys that play football are like, I'm pretty sure Michael could play football. And Tony's like, would you run the 40? And he goes, fast. And he's like, no, really? He goes, fast. He wasn't even going to answer it. And so they finally got to the point of just getting down to hand size. He took a piece of paper. He put his hand at the bottom part of the piece of paper and put it down on the piece of paper, and his middle finger went over the top of the piece of paper.
Good Lord.
He goes, you think I'm going to miss with those? It's like, that was end of discussion. And then they said, well, you know, what about Charles? And Marshall Faulk got behind Charles and pushed him down in a three-point stance. He goes, you don't think I can get 4 yards behind this ass? And it was like, there you go. But yeah. Michael's confidence is on a different planet. Although he did look, and I still think if he parties anywhere like he used to, at that press conference that Nick had the audio from, he looked like he had quite a night the night before.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that wouldn't surprise me, especially with the All-Star game in town.
Yeah.
It's funny, though, because I was waiting for him to say something specifically about Harden and Westbrook so I could yell tampering.
Oh, man.
You think about it. I mean, what do you think of those guys? They're good. Oh, is that tampering? Is that tampering? Or does it Jordan so he gets a pass?
Well, I mean, you're right, because Magic learned his lesson finally.
But it's stupid is the point.
It is. It's dumb, right? It's not as blatant as when Daryl Morey used to do his show and just talk. But that's tough, too. But Magic this weekend, whenever they asked him a question, was like, and he'd catch himself, go, you know what, guys? I'm going to get fined. I'm not saying a word. Because that is a dumb rule.
It is. Tampering, like we said last week, they need to figure out a way to allow guys to make a comment on a player's skill set when asked by the media. Hey, what do you think about Westbrook's game? Oh, it's great. I mean, he's good at this. He's good at that. He's good at this. What's wrong with that? That shouldn't be tampering.
It shouldn't,
especially when you're asking former players who are now, because the league is full of former players. And people want to know what guys like Magic Johnson, an all-time great, or guys like Michael Jordan, an all-time great, or when Bird was in the, coaching, and like guys want to know what these guys think because these are legends.
And especially like Michael, and when Larry was with the Pacers, those guys hated the media. They didn't like to talk a whole lot. It was so tough to get them. So when you got them, you wanted to know what they thought.
Yeah.
And so it'd be important. And the other thing is, with as much emphasis as on the media, the big broadcast contracts to get the rights, and then you want to appease the media because they're going to promote your sport positively. Then when someone's asking a media question and it's just like you said, like talk about what Westbrook's game is like to defend or what he brings to the table.
Right.
As opposed to, could you see Russell Westbrook joining the Rockets at the end of the year?
That's different if you go, oh yeah, man, I wish he would leave the Thunder and become a Rocket. We could really use him and he'd be so much more popular and his what he makes off the court would go up. That's tampering.
Right.
But, well, he's really good at getting triple-doubles. That's not tampering. That's just an observation. That's a big difference. So,
and the other thing, stupid, as we get out of the All-Star talk, but the one thing I will give credit to Anthony Davis for was the
eyebrow.
He played only 5 minutes after in warm-ups. He was dunking like his arm was already out of socket. I don't know if he had a shoulder issue or not. But he did the media day when they first all get to town. And he didn't. Not only did he not shy away, he went longer than anybody else and basically said all questions are on the table, and he addressed everything about the trade and the teams and the list and what went on and what's going on. And at least you got a clearer perspective instead of having to hear what the agent said he's thinking.
So was he straight up about it? Was he Paul Abdul about it?
He was pretty. Yeah, he was. And he said Boston is on the list. He said Milwaukee was always on the list. He said he'll expand the list. But be aware of the fact that of this list, there's many teams that I'll play for. I'll play for anybody in the league. But there's only a few that I've given them on my list that I will consider signing long term with. Which means the Lakers are going to be involved in any.
What's crazy is, how is that not some sort of tampering?
How's Milwaukee tampering on his list? That's
because
crazy.
All because of the Greek Freak and the pieces around him.
It's crazy that a player can talk like that, but nobody else can.
I totally agree with that.
It's wild to me. Because you're basically giving advantages and disadvantages to teams when it comes to negotiating.
Well, I'll take it a step further that for you.
You're tampering with the trade process.
Why is it that a head coach can talk about an opponent's players, but a general manager can't, when in fact that the general manager is in charge of putting players on the floor and talking about what they're doing to construct a team to, say, in Daryl's case, to beat the Warriors. Yeah. That's their main motivation. So, Daryl, what have you been doing to try and beat the Warriors? Well, honestly, I've got this guy to match up with Steph, or I'm going this way or this way. That's not tampering.
No, not at all. It's just talking the game of basketball. Get over it, basketball. You're not that. Stop taking yourself so serious like that. A couple of people asked on the text line, what's the show called with the weed that Barry was talking about? It's called Murder Mountain. Murder Mountain.
I thought it was Garden Talk.
No.
Different kind of weed?
Yes, different kind of weed.
Before we get out of here, you want to get Dylan in here?
Yeah,
Dylan wants
to
talk Rudy T, which was another part of the weekend. What's up, Dylan?
Hey, guys. How's it going? Love the show.
Thanks,
appreciate
sir.
It.
Hey, I just wanted to get your opinion on what you think. What is the criteria when it comes to Hall of Fame and, credentials? Because if you look at last year, Rudy T was a finalist for the Hall of Fame, and now he's not. But now guys like Paul Westphal and Bill Fitch are finalists. in my opinion, I think it's just a big, I can't think of the word, like just a disservice to Rudy T and the fact that, you know, he's accomplished, and I feel like the longer we wait, the more chances he's not going to get a chance to see himself actually make it to the Hall of Fame. And I just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Hey, real quick, is this L.U. Dillon?
No.
I appreciate it. I just wanted to put a voice to
the sniper
L.U. Dillon.
Was waiting in the wings.
We appreciate the phone call, man.
Yeah, thanks, Dillon, for the call.
You know, the interesting thing to me, part of the Bill Fitch argument, is he is one of the winningest coaches in NBA history. Also one of the losingest coaches in NBA history.
Yeah, he was around forever. In the Celtics, he won rings.
Yeah, and so I get why a guy like Fitch might make the list, but it's weird that you would only take into the positive aspects of his coaching and not the negative aspects. When you look at his ineptness in so many seasons, you're basically saying, well, ignore the fact that he's lost as many as he won because he just won a lot. Because it was just volume, sheer numbers. If you're around that long and you're lucky enough to coach on some teams that have guys
or Vince
like
Carter,
Olajuwon
Vince
and
Carter
Samson.
Making the Hall of Fame. If you play long enough, you're going to have the points and the rebounds and everything to be up there in the top 10 to qualify for the Hall of Fame.
Exactly. But no one, I don't think anybody says, wow, Bill Fitch, no one can match wits with that guy.
Yeah.
But you got a guy like Rudy T who changed the game. He created the stretch four. You've given him credit for that several times on the show. And it's a fact. And he took a guy like Robert Horry and made him a stretch four. Mm-hmm. And guys like Matt Bullard. And won championships with a team. And I not only that, but since it's the Basketball Hall of Fame, you look at what he did as a player.
That's where I'm going.
And as a player, he was damn good. He was an all-star.
Yeah, real quickly, criteria. We say it all the time. If we knew the criteria, it would be a lot easier to explain why or why not guys are in or out. But the other thing is with Rudy T, it wasn't his fault he got punched in the face.
No.
He was an All-American in college. He was an NBA All-Star before he got hurt. And then what he did coaching-wise to win back-to-back titles, which is very rare in the league, he took a team of scrubs and won an Olympic gold medal because the NBA players were on strike or locked out, which he doesn't get enough credit for. And It's to me, it's unfathomable how he's not in from the standpoint of, like you said, from a player and a coach and all his accomplishments. Those things, there should be criteria that we can at least look at. But
so Rudy's winning percentage was 55.9. Now he won almost 56% of his games just as a coach, not counting what he did on the court as a player. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Fitch, 46%. It was his winning percentage.
And
he won 46% of his games, 10% less over his career. Again, he had a lot of wins because he coached forever. But
and give Rudy T the same amount of games coached in.
Yeah.
Now you're talking about a huge number, probably, because T was great that way.
943. Yeah, Bill Fitch coached in 2,050 games.
And Rudy?
Rudy coached in 943.
Yeah, less than half.
So you look at, I mean, if you think about it, if he's doing 56, that's... that's a big chunk. That puts him up there with the all-time greats if he's around that long.
And as we go to break, look, the other thing to consider is you don't want him to be like Guy V. Lewis. Don't get in posthumously. Get him in where he deserves it and he can soak it up, you know, because I think he really does deserve it. But it's a shame. He didn't make the finalists this year. All right, that's hour number one of the show. We've got 2 hours still to go, so if you want to join us, please do. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Need a new restaurant to go to?
Do you know where I could find an organic Vietnamese taco truck around here?
Visit culturemap.com to get the latest restaurant and bar news from Culture Map food editor Eric Sandler.